From the Lynn DeGrand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of December, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to discuss the agricultural weather forecast in the growing regions of Argentina and Brazil. Argentina remains dry. Brazil's in better condition. We'll hear more about that. And he tells us that there's maybe a big snowstorm brewing for next week across the Midwest, or at least the upper portions of the Midwest. We'll do all of that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day finished at $4.47 and a quarter. It was up 3 3/4. The May contract at $4.48 and a quarter, 3 3/4 higher. In December of next year at $4.23 and a quarter, up 3.5 cents. January beans, $12.58 and 3/4, 11.5 higher. Next year's November down 3. They finished at $10.84 and 3/4. And wheat futures up 12 3/4 at $6.29 and 3/4. Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, is now here to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, happy holidays to you, Jackie. This is our last live one for the year, not only with you, but just period. I'm going to take some time off from this point. There will be fresh content tomorrow. It'll be Christmas, of course, Eve. And then next week, we'll have all kinds of content for folks to listen to. But this is the last time that we'll get a chance to talk in person on the Closing Market Report with somebody for the marketing year. There'll be more trade to come, but Jackie, you get to wrap it all up, so I suppose you need to be extra on top of your game today.
Woohoo! I definitely want to say, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody who listens. This is especially an important day for me because it's my birthday.
You know what? Happy birthday. You too. Yeah. Congratulations. Thanks. Happy birthday. And tomorrow, boy, you just have a whole celebratory week coming up in that case then. Everybody does, but yours is super extra special.
Well, yeah. I wish I could say that that was true. over the years, it's been a lot of Merry Christmas and, by the way, Happy Birthday. but I have to admit that people have gone out of their way. I've just gotten a ton of things this morning from people saying happy birthday, and people have really gone out of their way to make it special, and I appreciate that a lot.
All right. Well, speaking of happy birthday, I'm not going to make it special for you because I want it to be fairly normal for us for part of it, which means we need to go through export sales and support and resistance and the managed money to begin with today.
All righty. Well, we'll start it with corn. March, we have support at 440, resistance at 468, and the crossover is at 378 now. So all of this, of course, is moving higher as the markets have moved higher. May, 411 support, 473 resistance, 421 is the crossover. December 21 on a weekly chart, we have 401 as support, 419 is resistance, and 431 as the crossover. And I take my resistance back. I've got the wrong number on my resistance. It's 424 and 3/4. On beans, March, 1172 support, 1290 resistance, and crossover is 977. May, 1192, 1342, and crossover is at 1151. November 21 beans, which again is a weekly chart, 1059 support, 1148 resistance. And we continue to be in an uptrend channel. Top end of the channel is 1102, bottom end is 1038 right now. Dow Jones, support 29569, resistance 31677. U.S. dollar, 87.81, support, 92.07, resistance. And managed money has just, they're long on everything again. We haven't any shorts in here. On soft red wheat, we're at 17,000 long, 23,000 long compared to 17,000 last week. Corn, 325,000 compared to 285 last week. Beans, 244 compared to 214 last week. Meal, 100 compared to 74 last week. And soy oil, the only one that lost a little bit, 108 long compared to 112 last week. I'll just go right into export inspections, Todd. Wheat exports are running at 1% behind a year ago now. Last week, they were still 1% ahead. Corn, 67% ahead of a year ago, was 65 last week. And soybeans are 78% ahead, and that was 72% last week. So we continue to see very, very strong export inspections as we move forward.
Yeah, bean meal up $5.90 during the middle of the trade today. Corn futures were higher. Beans were up 13 in the middle of the day as we were talking. It's been a really pretty good week, actually, for commodities, in particular for soybeans, I think.
No kidding. And I mean, you know, you look at it's broad board buying is what I would call it, because, you know, we've got livestock up, we've got metal up, we've got wheat up. I think, you know, a lot of that is trading the stimulus package. Beans, we continue to work to try and slow down the export sales. And we did get export sales out this morning, Todd, early, because tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Wheat, they expected 300 to 500. We came in at 417. Corn, 600 to 1 million. We came in at 651, so really on the low end. Beans, 550 to 800. We came in at 517, so we came in below the low end. Meal, 200 to 350. We came in at 223, so we were way at the low end. And soy oil came in higher. It was 5 to 15, came in at 20.9. And so, you know, when you look at the big picture, when I say we're working to slow export sales, it's because we have such tight carryout numbers. And, you know, we've got lots of rumors swirling around that China's going to be moving some exports purchases back to the U.S. from Brazil for February. And so we've got to do something here to preserve what we have going on here, as well as we continue to trade weather in South America. There's no question about that. And so it's been pretty interesting.
Well, what are you watching closely now, and in what part of the world?
To me, you know, of course, China is always like the top of the pile. I thought this was interesting. They're expecting to import more than 100 million metric tons of beans this year. That's 3.67 billion bushels in 2020. And in 2021, they'll do this. But we produced 3.552 this last year in 1920. So they're going to import more than what we would have produced. Now for this next year, we're expecting 4.17, but you know, those are record high numbers. And of course it's coming because of the hog herd and how things have really, really gone much faster than I think anybody could have ever guessed it was going to happen. When you look at Brazil, soybeans are 97.7% planted. And I want to make sure we preface this. The main growing areas have been planted for quite a while now, and they're doing pretty well. And so most of your beans down there are actually flowering, setting pods, filling pods. Hard for us to believe when we're looking at winter here. But the biggest thing, or the biggest danger down there, is this next 45 days. Now, they're still, you know, they're still drier than they should be, but they have been getting some rain. So, you know, I think that what it probably comes down to, Todd, on the bottom line, is there's probably going to be a lot of variability, just like we've seen, you know, where you have pockets of dryness and then you have decent weather in certain areas. So whether they produce this 134.4 million metric tons is still a big question. And of course, I didn't talk about this when it comes to the markets, but one of the things really driving the bean market at the moment is that strike that's going on down in Argentina. Dr. Cordonier said that there are 22 ports right now that are on strike. And that's pretty unbelievable. More than 100 cargo ships. I haven't been able to load any ag products in Argentina on Monday. And it's based on wages. And they want more wages. They want you know, more benefits. The normal type of things that go on when a strike happens. And so it's just paralyzing everything all the way around. Now, this is really an unusual situation, because in the past we've always seen these strikes end in a matter of a few days. You know, and that, you know, we're stretching into the second week on this one already. So if we continue to see this, it's going to disrupt not just the export side of things, but the wheat millers. You know, they haven't been able to get what they want. And Argentina is also the world's largest exporter of soybean meal and soy oil used for cooking. And soy oil, of course, is a primary staple in China. So before this strike happened already, Argentina was having real problems getting beans. The Argentinian farmer, of course, he's sitting on 30% of last year's crop because he's using it as a hedge against inflation and the devaluation of the Argentine peso because they get paid based on American dollars. Very smart on their part, very difficult when it comes to an end user. And so crushers basically were only operating at about 60% prior to all of this happening. So the other thing that is really throwing a wrench into the system is that Brazil is sold out. They don't have any exportable beans. And so where do you go? You know, they're driving, you know, it's driving more demand back to the U.S. And therefore, soy meal prices are rising dramatically here. Now, this is the reasoning why that's happening. It's because Argentina just doesn't have it. So we'll probably be able to export soy meal down to Argentina like we've done in the past. And so the bad part is, just like anything else, you know, if you see higher prices for soy meal and corn, it costs more to produce beef, pork, and chicken. And, you know, Brazil and the U.S. are the principal meat exporters in the whole world. And so that drives production costs higher. So we'll see once how long the strike goes on. Those trade unions down there are key supporters of this Peronist party that took over control last year. So I doubt very much that you're going to see the president step in necessarily and make the guys go back to work like they've done in the past. So even if they get it over with, we remember what it was like here in the U.S. when we had problems. It takes weeks and weeks and weeks to get through the backlog, you know. And so you take this and then you couple it with all of the things that we talked about last week at the border at Paraguay, you know, and trucks being backed up there because they're not prepared. It's really quite a mess. So I expect that we're going to continue to see a strong market in beans. We'll have some setbacks, but I think we'll still continue to move forward until we actually see things slow down. Export sales were lower today, but it's going to take more than what happened today to actually stop anything that's going on.
Given all of that, what are your expectations? Because we won't be actually looking at the marketplace on our programs next week for the week between Christmas and New Year's, and then maybe for the first week or week and a half of January.
Well, when you look, you know, these are some of my compadres say, just leave the market for this time and for this part of the year. It can be very volatile is what it can be because we do have less people trading. You know, there are still the same, even though we don't have a trading floor, the rules are still the same for the people who are shareholders. They have to be out of their positions whenever the market closes. And so that usually leads to a reverse. Let's say that they were going long in the marketplace. Well, they have to lift those long positions before the end of the day on the last trading day. So I would expect that tomorrow, as we go into the noon time frame, we could see a pop up in the morning and then a pull back during the week next week. I would expect that we will continue to trade what we're trading right now. I think that we could see beans move higher and really take some, it could take a swing, you know, at the $13 level, if not more than that, just because of the fact that we have more volatility and less traders. Corn is a follower. Corn, of course, you know, corn is just not keeping up, let's put it that way. If you look at the ratio between corn and beans, we're at 2.58 on beans to corn right now. We should be 2.5, you know. So if you're looking at $12.50 beans, you should be looking at $5 corn, but we're not. And so I expect that corn will continue to come along as long as beans move forward. And as far as the first week in January goes, well, you know, we do have a lot of positioning that goes on during that week. We'll also be getting ready to trade the USDA report that'll be coming out the following week. So I would expect that first week is going to be maybe a little dull at the very beginning because nobody really knows where it's going. And then it could get to be a pretty wild one. The reality is, you know, as we look further, it depends upon what happens in South America. But like Doc said, the next 45 days are the big days for bean pod filling and everything else down there. If the weather should turn favorable down there, that's going to put some pressure onto the bean market, or a little bit of pressure onto the bean market. So I wish I could just say to you, yep, we're going to go up, 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 or we're going to go down, 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 but I can't do that.
We always go up and we always go down. Thank you so
That's
much.
Right.
You have a great holiday and a fantastic birthday.
You too. Thank you.
Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Well, on this Wednesday before Christmas, we're joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thank you, Drew, so much for being with us. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all of those things to you. We are glad that you are here today. Although we don't want to talk about winter stuff just yet, we probably ought to check in on South America and see whether the dry weather conditions, which look like they have turned to wetter weather, will pan out or not. What are you seeing and watching and paying attention to closely there?
Yeah, Santa Claus is going to bring a surprise to Argentina one way or the other. The models today just all over the board as far as what's supposed to happen in the middle to latter part of next week. Some of the models are suggesting, though, there's going to be a substantial amount of moisture in Argentina's dry areas. And I've got to admit, I don't buy into that too much because of the strength of La Nina right now. I would think that the European model solution would be the one that's more correct, and that actually allows for dryness to perpetuate in southeast and east central parts of Argentina into far southern Brazil, including Rio Grande do Sul. We're going to get a new European model run here this afternoon, and hopefully that will clarify things a bit. But for right now, there's a lot of debate out there as far as what is going to happen. My professional opinion is that we are going to get some scattered showers in Argentina this weekend and early next week, but they're not going to be great enough to seriously change the moisture profile. There'll probably be enough, though, to keep the crop viable, and that's a very important thing at this point. And then I think what will end up happening is that we will see a rather limited precipitation bias in those southern areas of Argentina and southern Brazil next week, and I'm not going to go down the road of seeing significant relief there. Now, I may eat those words in another day or so we'll see what happens, but I really think that with the Southern Oscillation Index being so strongly positive right now and La Nina full of strength and vigor, I really can't get too excited about bringing in 1 to 2 inch plus amounts of rain in some of these dry areas like these model runs have been suggesting today. So we'll see. Now, in Brazil, the situation there looks still very good, we will see frequent precipitation in center west and center south Brazil. That's the bulk of their crop country, at least from a soybean perspective. But like I said a moment ago, Rio Grande do Sul may not do all that well, and we'll slip into a little bit of a drier mode as we move into January. Now, Rio Grande do Sul is actually doing okay today. Their soil moisture profile is not bad at all, and crops are developing aggressively there. So really, I think we're done worrying about Brazil for right now. We'll see what happens a little bit further down the road.
Here in the United States, it looks like the cold weather's coming in, and there's a pretty good-sized storm at the moment in parts of the Northwest, especially the Corn Belt. Can you tell me about that and what you see for the next week or so?
Yeah, it took several weeks, but we're finally seeing a little bit winter-like weather for North America. Have that cold surge coming across the country right now, and that's bringing in blizzard conditions in the upper parts of the Midwest. A lot of wind will blow through the lower Midwest here over the next 24 to 48 hours, bringing in much colder temperatures, and that will eventually bring maybe even a threat to Florida citrus country, although there shouldn't be any damaging cold there, but temperatures get into the 30s down there. But as that system abates and we start to warm back up, we'll bring moisture forward from the Gulf of Mexico into the central United States. And that overrunning warm, moist air into the cool air mass will help to set the stage for a storm system during midweek next week that could end up being a very impressive system. Now, obviously, it's at least 6 days away, and that's just too far out in time to have a great deal of confidence in it. But if it were to verify, as some of the models have it today, there would be a very impressive snow system from Nebraska through Iowa to parts of the western and central Great Lakes region during the middle part of next week. So we'll keep a close eye on this system. It seems to me it's a little overdone, but I have to admit all of the models are on board with this, and it's a long ways out in time, plenty of opportunity to change it, but we could end up burying quite a bit of livestock country as well as a few Corn Belt areas that were pretty dry last summer. It might make a bit of a difference for the spring.
Do you have a bias for the winter systems in January, February, March at this point?
You know, I think what will end up happening here is that we're going to see La Nina going into an aggressive weakening trend in the latter part of winter. So when we get into February, maybe even late January, I think we're going to see a little bit more active weather than what we've been seeing. And these storms, like what I've just described, might occur a little bit more often. So I think we're going to reduce the amount of dryness that's present in the central United States as we go into late winter and early spring. But I am still very concerned about the summer, and we'll keep a close eye on that. We may turn around and go back into a drier bias. But the spring's not looking too bad. I think we're going to have moisture around to work with.
Well, what gives you concern about summer? What's in the weather systems now that's giving you a little bit of caution there?
Well, number one, there's the huge amount of drought in North America. You know, we have drought in central Canada's prairies, almost all of the west half of the United States, and most of Mexico, at least the northwestern half to two-thirds of Mexico. That's a large amount of real estate that's dry. If we can't do a better job in eliminating the dryness in those areas, we immediately introduce a higher potential for ridge building when we get into the warm season. Now, there's a lot of time between now and when we get to that point, and so there could be a lot of change. But with La Nina still dominating the next several weeks, it's going to be hard to make it wetter in a lot of those areas I just described. That's the first problem. The second problem is cooling water temperatures off the west coast of North America that is creating a negative Pacific decadal oscillation, which also helps to, if it prevails through the spring and into early summer, helps to support ridge building in the middle of North America. And then lastly, we have the potential that somewhat of a weak La Nina environment may still be around during the summer, even though we're going to diminish this event quite a bit. I don't think it's going to necessarily completely go away. And if that's the case, it too will help to reinforce some ridge building in the middle of North America. So with the drought, the negative phase of PDO and La Nina possibly lingering, there may be a little reason to be concerned about summer weather.
Drew, thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. That's Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.